Welcome to the deep dive. We are opening a file today that's remained stubbornly cold for, what, over 5 decades now?
Easily. Yet it somehow feels hotter than ever, doesn't it? In the public imagination, anyway.
Exactly. So our mission today is a deep dive into one of the most enduring, frankly terrifying mysteries in criminal history, the Zodiac Killer. And right away, the material we're looking at, it pulls you into the core of the case. It all begins not just with a crime, but with a piece of paper.
A single letter, yeah. Covered in symbols, taunts, secrets.
It's this story of a completely faceless predator who, you know, turned California back in the late 1960s into his own twisted stage, his hunting ground.
And for you, the learner, we're really trying to push past the basic true crime headlines here. The sources we're using treat the Zodiac less like a simple criminal case and more like, well, like a study in calculated psychological warfare.
Right.
So we're focusing on understanding his methods, the control he exerted, the complex architecture of those ciphers he sent, and also the specific behavioral blueprint he left behind, one that, you know, still kind of defies forensic science even decades later. That's the depth we need for this deep dive.
Okay, let's unpack those methods of control first, because that really does seem like the driving force, doesn't it? The Zodiac wasn't just committing violence. He was, like, curating a narrative around himself.
Absolutely. He wanted the fame, the fear, and, you know, above all else, absolute control over the investigation, over the public's reaction, everything.
And he got that control using the media, right? That triangulation you mentioned.
Exactly. The sources really highlight that. His letters weren't just random, like, ego trips. They were strategic, tactical moves. He didn't just send them to the police, which is interesting in itself. He sent them straight to major newspapers, The Chronicle, The Examiner.
Forcing their hand.
Totally. Basically forcing editors to publish them under threat of, you know, more violence, indiscriminate violence. He used their deadlines, their news cycles to just maximize the terror and make sure he dominated the headlines. He was dictating the pace of the fear itself.
Wow. It's almost like he turned the press into, I don't know, unwilling accomplices in his whole performance.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
And the most unique part of this control thing was that symbol he used on everything. That really chilling mark, the circle with a cross through it.
Mm-hmm. The crosshairs.
That became his visual stamp of authority, didn't it?
It did. It's the signature that elevates these crimes from just random acts to something, I don't know, ritualized.
Defiant.
Defiant, certainly. And what's fascinating, as you said, is he developed not just that visual mark, but an intellectual one, too, the ciphers.
Okay, let's zero in on those ciphers, because this is where the puzzle really became a psychological weapon. I mean, everyone knows he used codes, but what do the sources tell us about how hard they actually were or the nature of them?
Well, the sources really emphasize the complexity, especially something like the Z340 cipher. Its non-standard structure was pretty much unprecedented back then. It wasn't just a simple substitution code anyone could crack over a weekend. No way.
So much harder than, like, a kid's decoder ring.
Oh, leagues beyond. The Z340 specifically used multiple substitution steps, deliberate errors or anomalies. He even threw in zodiac sign symbols, things designed to resist the usual code-breaking techniques.
Okay, so why? What does the analysis suggest? It wasn't just about hiding his name then.
Probably not just that. The analysis suggests it was also about asserting his intellectual superiority, showing he was smarter than the police, the FBI, the cryptologists, everyone trying to catch him.
So the cipher itself was a tool of, like, intellectual torture, making sure the investigators were always one step behind, always chasing him.
Exactly. The sheer effort needed just to decode one message became its own form of control. It drains morale, resources.
Keeps him in charge.
Precisely. And that constant need to prove how smart he was, that links directly into the psychology we need to get into next. You really have to ask, right? What kind of person has such an overwhelming need to be the smartest guy in the room, so much so that they risk getting caught by constantly sending messages?
That's the perfect transition. Let's go deeper inside the killer's mind. We've talked about the what, the crimes, the letters, now the why. Our sources pose that core question that, you know, drives all modern criminal investigation.
Mm.
What makes someone not just kill, but do it with such theatrical, chilling precision and then broadcast it?
Yeah.
And to tackle a mind that complex, the sources detail a pretty sophisticated toolkit they use nowadays. We're moving beyond just standard criminal profiling, which often just looks at the crime scene.
Right. That gives you a starting point, maybe a demographic sketch.
But here we're talking forensic science. And crucially, forensic psychology, and really in-depth behavioral analysis, this is where the profile gets much deeper.
And it's useful maybe to quickly differentiate those for you, the listener. Like you said, profiling might give us a general type, but forensic psychology, that drills down into the killer's internal story, their narrative. Especially with someone like Zodiac, who communicated so much, we look for patterns of projection.
Projection. How so?
Well, the taunts, the demands, the threats. The sources suggest a big part of his motivation was likely externalizing his own feelings, maybe feelings of powerlessness or failure, projecting them onto the world. He constantly accused the police of being incompetent, right? Forensic analysis often sees that as a classic projection. He might feel inadequate, so he accuses others of it.
Ah, okay, so the bragging, the self-aggrandizement.
Yeah.
It wasn't just ego, it was maybe a necessary psychological defense.
Very likely, yeah, absolutely. And then the behavioral analysis part that targets the specific, deeper things that fueled this defense mechanism. So this involves looking for the origins, things like potential childhood influences, maybe neglect, maybe excessive strictness, things that could create a really severe, twisted logic in adulthood.
Leading to that need for absolute control.
Exactly. An absolute, undeniable control over other people, because maybe they felt they had none earlier in life.
Okay. And when the sources talk about signature behaviors, are they just referring to the codes and letters or something more tied to the actual killings?
It's both, really. But signature behaviors are technically the things he didn't have to do to commit the crime, but did anyway to satisfy some internal need. They're not utilitarian.
Gotcha. Things beyond just subduing the victim.
Right. The choice of weapons sometimes, the specific taunts in his communications, the meticulous detail in the ciphers even, all these elements form a pattern, a terrifying one. He wasn't just committing murders. He was performing a kind of ritual designed to satisfy that deep-seated need for control, for recognition, which leads to that label in our material, criminal genius.
In methodology, at least, not morality.
Obviously. Genius in the planning and execution, the manipulation.
And that meticulous methodology, that careful planning, is ultimately why he got away with it, isn't it? Well, he's never been caught.
Yeah. Certainly a huge factor.
Decades have passed.
Decades, yet the case just persists. It's this testament to how complex his profile was and how hard it is to piece together the kind of scattered evidence he deliberately left. And when you look at the investigation itself over the years, the emotional weight must have been enormous.
Unimaginable.
Our sources capture some of that, the real fear in the voices of people who lived through that time in California and the sheer crushing obsession of the detectives who just refused to give up.
Pouring over handwriting, cryptograms.
For years, chasing those haunting patterns he left behind, trying to connect dots that maybe weren't even meant to be connected, all while knowing the killer could literally be, their neighbor, hiding in plain sight.
And that actually brings us to the lasting relevance of this case, especially for you, the curious learner. Why does this specific case continue to demand so much attention from, true crime enthusiasts, psychology buffs, behavioral analysts? Why Zodiac?
Yeah, what makes it stick? I think it's precisely because the Zodiac forced investigators and criminologists to basically invent new ways of thinking, new methodologies. The evidence is this messy collection of conflicting witness statements, partially decoded ciphers, maybe unreliable communications, and these meticulously planned but geographically dispersed crimes.
It requires pulling everything together.
Exactly. It's a case that demands you synthesize insights from every possible discipline. Cryptology, forensic psychology, linguistics, geography, behavioral science, the whole lot. The difficulty in actually solving it is almost a direct reflection of how effectively he weaponized secrecy and, frankly, his intelligence against the system back then. An investigative system that just wasn't ready for his level of media savvy theatricality.
So it was a wake-up call.
A huge one. Yeah. It really serves as a historical turning point for criminal profiling and understanding complex communicating offenders.
It sounds like the Zodiac wasn't just a killer. He was almost a catalyst for change in how we study these dangerous minds.
I think that's fair to say, absolutely. The lessons learned from analyzing his specific patterns, the way he communicated, the theatricality, the projection we talked about, his obvious need for an audience, those are foundational concepts for understanding high-functioning serial offenders even today.
We started this deep dive with that image, that letter covered in symbols and secrets. We've tried to dissect the terrifying patterns of his killings, the twisted genius of his codes, and the psychological defenses that seem to define him.
And that brings us right to the end, to that really profound and honestly chilling reflection offered by the source material. about his legacy. What if the Zodiac wasn't just one specific man, but became something more, a kind of symbolic figure, maybe even a mirror held up to humanity itself?
A mirror reflecting what? Our fascination with violence, or something else?
Maybe reflecting the darkness that can exist, you know, within society. A figure who knew exactly how to tap into and manipulate the emerging media landscape, how to turn terror into a public spectacle.
And capitalize on our anxieties.
Indeed. It forces you to consider that sometimes. The most terrifying monsters. They don't just hide in the shadows out in the woods somewhere. Sometimes they hide in the gaps in our society, in the flaws in how we communicate, how we understand each other. And sometimes, maybe, they just hide in plain sight, relying on complexity, on the noise, to remain unseen.